Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Chulin Daf Pei Ches. Elisha left off yesterday, five lines from the bottom of the page on Daf Pei Zayin Beis at Tanan Hassam. Correct? That's yes. Okay. Today's share is sponsored once again by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and leading the Shvas's mother, Golda Basimcha La Shalom. The neshama should have an aliyah. So, first thing we're going to talk about today is the various liquids that come out of a mace and what their tumah status is. Is it only dam min hamace that's metame? What about other fluids that emerge from a mace? Then the Gemara is going to have three different opinions when you sort out all the different prices about how much of the dam needs to be covered. Do you need to cover all of the dam that comes out, some of the dam, one type of dam, not another type of dam? So we're going to get to all of that. Then the Mishnah on Amud Aleph is going to talk about what can and cannot be used to cover the dam. Certainly dirt can be used. What else can be used to cover the dam? The Gemara is going to discuss how to define what is considered fine sand versus coarse sand, because apparently there's a difference between them as far as the mitzvah of Kisei Adam. And we're also going to define what exactly is under the category of afar. And then at the end of the daf, we're going to identify a variety of mitzvos that we are zocha to have because of things that Avram Avinu had said, because of certain phrases that Avram Avinu had said. So let's begin. Five lines from the end of the page. Tanan Hasam. So Tanan Hasam, we have a braisa when it talks about Tumas Meis, that kol mashka mace, any mashka, any fluid that emerges from the body of a dead person, tears from his eye, milk from a woman, tahorin, they are tahor chutz midamo, except for dam min hamace, which is tameh. The kalmara admum is shabo mitamin ba'ol. And if there's if there's dam that still looks red, even though it's been diluted with water, but it still looks red, it's mitameh ba'ol, just like regular dam min hamace. So the Gemara brings a Mishnah and explains whether the Mishnah conforms to the Braisa or not. Umashka hamace tahorin? Is that true that other fluids that emerge from a mace are tahar? Or a minu? But I'll ask you a steer, because there's a Mishnah Mesechas Tevul Yom, Mashka Tevul Yom, the fluids that emerge from the body of a Tevul Yom, his tears or chala from an isha or something like that, kim mashkin shenogei behen, have the same status as a mashka that touches a tevul yom, ve'elu ve'elu ein mitamin. Both the mashka that emerges from a tevul yom and a mashka that touches a tevul yom are not mitamin from the tevul yom. The chum were not gozer tuma on these items. Ushar kol atamein, but all other types of tamei things besides for a tevul yom, bein kalin, bein chamurin, that's going to be the key phrase, whether it be things that have a tuma kala or whether it be things that have a tuma chamura, that have a more severe type of tuma, the status of the fluids that emerge from them are going to be the same as the status of the fluids that touch them. Ve'elu ve'elu, and therefore both the mashka that emerges from them and the mashka that touches them are tchila, are a rishon l'tuma. And if you touch those mashkin, you become a sheni l'tuma. So chutz min mashka shu avatuma, except for a mashka that is an avatuma, meaning the zov and the roke and the meiraglayim of a zov and the shechva zera of anybody that has the status of an avatum itself, not a rishon l'tumah. Now even a sheni l'tumah that touches mashkin is metami them to become a rishon l'tumah, because anything that's posel is a truma, meaning sheni l'tumah posel shuma, because shuma can become a shlishi, and we learned in the Gemara back on Daf Lamed Dalid that kol posel is a truma, if it's nogea b'mashkin, it's metami the mashkin to become a tchila, to become a rishon l'tumah, except for a tevul yom, because the tevul yom is considered to have a weakened form of tumah, so they weren't gozer on the mashkin that's nogea behem. But the point is that we're saying that any fluids that emerge from anything but a tevul yom, whether it be kalin or chamurin, any fluids that emerge from something that has a light level of tumah or a severe level of tumah is going to be tameh. So we had said in the Braisa that fluids that emerge from a mace are not tameh. Only blood that emerges from a mace is tameh. Other fluids are not. Well, what exactly do we mean by chamurin if we're not talking about a mace? Mai kalin and mai chamurin. What exactly does this Mishnah mean when it says any fluids that emerge from kalin or chamurin are going to be tamei. My love, kalin sheretz v'zav, chamurin mace. Doesn't it mean that kalin is tuma sheretz, tuma zav, chamurin is mace, that a mashka, and it's, therefore it's explicit in the Mishnah, that a mashka that comes out of that which has a tuma chamura, namely a mace, is going to be tamei. So it's a stirah to our brisa, because our brisa said that any mashka other than dam that emerges from a mace is going to be tahor. So says Mar Lo, it's not referring to a mace at all. Kalin sheretz v'chamurin zav. Tuma kala means sheretz and tuma chamurin means zav. Well, wait a second. Both sheretz and zav are an avatuma, right? So what? Why would one be kala? One be? I understand if you're going to tell me that kalin is sheretz v'zav and chamur is mace, and mace is navi avosa tuma. So that makes sense that it's more chamur than a sheretz and a zav. So how can we identify kalin as sheretz and chamurin as zav if they're both an avatuma? So that's what the Rambam in Hilchos Matame Mishkav V'Moshe points out, and it's clear in all the sugyas that the psukim that the tuma of a zav has a certain chumra over the tuma of a sheretz, because a zav is metame mishkav v'moshav v'merkav without even touching anything, just by sitting on something, whereas a sheretz is only metame when he touches something, is only metame when it touches something. There is no tuma of mishkav v'moshav v'merkav when it comes to a sheretz. That's reserved for a zav, and in that sense a zav is more chumra, not in the level of tuma, but in the capacity to be metame, that it could be metame even in other ways that a sheretz is not able to be metame. So says Mar Maishna Zav de Gozer Be'Rabbanan, Maishna Meisla Gozer Be'Rabbanan. Well, wait a second, why does this make any sense now? Now we're saying that the mashkin that emerged from a tuma of a sheretz and a zav is going to, where the chamur goes a tuma on, but the mashka that emerges from a mace where not goes a tuma on. But wait, a mace is even more chamur. So why would there only goes a tuma on the mashka that comes from a zav, and there were not goes a tuma on the mashka, on the fluids that emerge from a mace? So it says more quite simply, zav de lo bedili in shimine goes be rabbanan. A zav is a living, normal person who looks regular. No one's going to distance themselves from him. So in order to stay away from Tuma Zav, Chazal had to make extra gezeros surrounding the Tuma of a Zav. So then one of those gezeros is that the Mashkayotzi menu is going to be Tameh. But a mace, where people anyway stay away from a mace, because the Tuma is so obvious, meaning he's dead, so everyone knows that there's Navi Avos HaTuma, so Logos Be'Rabbanon. They don't have to make extra gezeros to keep you away from being Metameh to it, because it's more obvious that you're going to stay away from it anyway. So that's similar to what we have at the beginning of Pesachim, that the Gemara describes things that are bedili in shimine. There's less reason to make a gzera, because that's the first daf in Pesachim. Tosfos points out, why is it that we were the Torah is so much stricter and the Chum as well about the dinim of chametz than we are about other dinim, nevelas and treifas and behemah tameya. We don't have an isra of owning those things. We don't have to be bodek them and be sorif them and all of those things. And the svaras the same, that bedili and shimine, people are used to having chametz around their house. They're not used to having to stay away from such things. Whereas behemah tameya, you're always bedili. People are used to staying away from them. So there's less need to make extra chumras on top of it. So then we said damanita shalasakin. The Mishnah said that any blood that splatters, or any blood that's on the knife, according to the Tanakami, you need to be mechase. And Rabbi Yehuda said that's only if ain't shom dam elahu. That's only if it's the only dam to be mechasa. But if there's other dam that you can be mechasa, you don't have to go scraping the dam off the knife, and you don't have to go be tracking down, every splattered bit of dam from the shechit of the behema. So the Braisa tells us as follows: Tanu Rabbanan. The Braisa darshins that the pasuk says v'chisahu melamed shadam anitas v'shal asakin chayev lechasos, that the dam anitas and the dam al asakin, you do need to be mechasa according to the Tanakama. Amr Rabbi Yehuda Amos. When is that true? Bizman change from dam elhu. That's if it's your only dam. So it's the only way to be mekayim the mitzvah kisei adam. Aval yesham dam shalohu. But if you have other dam that is not the dam anitas and is not the dam shalasakin, so then patur milchasos. Then you don't have to go track down the dam anitas and scrape off the dam shalasakin. Just go ahead and cover the other dam. You don't need to be. You don't need to be mechasa specifically this dam. Tosus writes that even if what Rabbi Yehuda says in the Mishnah, the Emesai is not coming to be cholik on the Tanakama, it's coming to be mefarish the Tanakama, that when the Tanakama says you need to be mechasa the Damanitas and the Dam Elasakin, it means Shein Sham Dam Elahu. In the Brisa, it's clear, Tosa says, that Rabbi Yehuda is being cholik on the Tanakama, meaning the Tanakama is clearly a different opinion than that of Rabbi Yehuda, and that's going to be clear in the Gemara soon, because the Gemara is going to be very clear that there are, in fact, once we get through a second brisa, that there are in fact three opinions, and one of those opinions is you need to track down every bit of dam and cover all of it. So that's clearly the sheet of the Tanakama. Rabbi Yehuda is not just qualifying the Tanakama; he's arguing on the Tanakama. Tanya idach, and we have another brisa. V'chisahu melamich kol dam chayv lechasos. That tells me you have to be mechasa all of the dam. Mikanam dam hanitas v'shalak payim, that the dam that splatters and the dam that's on the walls of the makom hashchita chayiv lechasos. You need to be mechasa all of that. So Amram Shulam Liel b'med var mamur mishlo kisa dam hanefesh. That's only true when you are not mechasa the dam hanefesh, and therefore you need to find some dam hanefesh. So the dam hanitas and the dam alakbayim is dam hanefesh. Aval kisa dam hanefesh. But if you were anyway mechasa dam hanefesh, so then patam lechasos. You don't have to track down all of the dam hanefesh. You already got some of the dam hanefesh, so you don't have to look to be mechasa all of the dam hanefesh. So b'maika miflugi, what exactly is the machlokas among these tanaim? So it must be that the rabbanan will say they have to be mechasa everything. Savri domo kol domo. They hold that domo means they have to be mechasa all of the dam. Rabbi Yehuda savar damo, afil mitzas damo. Rabbi Yehuda in the first brisa and in our Mishnah says that no, you just have to be mechasa some dam, whichever dam you're able to be mechasa. It doesn't even need to be dam anefesh. Even dam anefesh, you could be mechasa just mitzas of the dam. You don't even need to track down all of the dam anefesh. Rabbi Shmuel Gamliel savar damo hamiyuchad. Rabbi Shmuel Gamliel says you need to be mechasa the dam anefesh. So you need to be and all of the dam hanefesh requires kisui. So it turns out that there are three opinions, as Rashi formulates very clearly, three opinions in the din of kisui adam. According to the Rabban, you need to be mechasa all the dam. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you only need to be mechasa some of the dam hanefesh. According to Rabbi Shmuel Gamliel, you need to be mechasa all of the dam hanefesh. How do we paskin? So we paskin, you don't need to be mechasa all of the dam. Shulchan Aruch and Simon Chav Ches in Yerodea says it's not necessary to be mechasa all the dam. The question becomes, it's not necessary to be mechasa all the dam. Is it preferred to be mechasa all of the dam? Is it even lechachila that you could be mechasa miktas of the dam? So if you recall, a few days ago, the Gemara had a maisa with the pishtan of Rabbi Chia, that Rabbi Chia's pishtan was affected by tolaim that were eating away at the Pishtan, and he asked Rebbe, what am I supposed to do? So Rebbe gave him an etzah that he should shecht a bird on the Pishtan because the worms smell the dama oaf and they don't like it. It repels them and they'll go away. So the Gemara asked on that Maisa, how could Rebbe give such an etzah? He's telling you to shecht a bird and not to be mechasa the dam of the bird. You're being mevata the mitzvah of kisui adam. So the Gemara says, no, Rebbe told him to avoid the mitzvah of kisui adam by trafing up the bird or by doing something else, by killing the bird in a way that's not a maisa shchita, and by doing that, you're never going to have a mitzvah of kisui adam to begin with. And in fact, in Shulchan Aruch, in Simon Chav Ches, it says, "Hashochid haf pisha in tzorach el adam chayev lechasos." So ketzad yasin nocharok k'dei sheipater mikisui. The Shulchan Aruch paskens like what the Gemara says over there, that even if your goal in shechting something is not to eat the meat, your goal in shechting something is just because you need the dam to chase away worms or something, you would still require kisui adam. So if you need that dam for something else, so then you should make sure that you don't do a regular shechita, that you chafe up the animal, that you nocher, something like that. So l'chara, based on what we're saying in our sugya though, and based on how we paskin, that you don't need to be mechasa all of the dam, what's even the kasha? The Gemara was asking, how could Rebbe give such an etza? You're not going to do kisei dam. Who says you're not going to do kisei dam? You'll use some of the dam to chase away the worms, and you'll do kisui and some of the dam. You don't need to do kisui on all of the dam. So the Gilead Marsha on the side of the Yerodea quotes a Tshuvas Beis Shlomo that you see that L'chachila, you're supposed to be Mechasa, all of the Damish. Because Yaakov writes this way as well, that it must be that the question wasn't, how could Rebbe advise this? It's Mamish against the Halacha. Question is, how could Rebbe advise this? It's not the L'chachila Dika way of doing things. And you would think that Rebbe would advise Rebbe Chia to do things in the most L'chachila Dika fashion. So even the way we paskin that you don't need to be Mechasa all the Dam, you don't need to be Mechasa all the Dam, but L'chachila you should be Mechasa all the Dam. However, the Chazon Ish points out that the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch says, Ein sarach lahamtin ad sheyetzei kol adam. You don't need to wait till all the dam comes out. Sounds like you mamish don't need to. Even l'chachila, you don't need to do it. And it sounds that way from the Gemara. It could be that Rebbe was talking about a case where the dam of the other, where there was very little dam ha'of, and there wouldn't be enough to do both, to chase away the worms and also still have something left over to be mechasa or something else. Maybe that raya is not such a glatta raya. Okay, so now let's begin the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, b'me mechasin b'me ein mechasin. What can one use to perform the mitzvah of kisei adam, and what may not be used to perform the mitzvah of kisei adam? So mechasin b'zevel adak, we can use very finely ground up manure, b'chol adak, and finely ground sand, b'sid u'b'charsis, crushed up pieces of cheres, u'b'levenu b'magufa. Magufa is the covering of a cheres that's also made out of a covering of a barrel, rather, that's also made out of cheres, shektoshan, if you crushed them up really well, avalein mechasin. But what you cannot use is lo b'zevel agas, lo b'chol agas, things that are more coarse, that are not finely ground up, v'lo b'levenu b'magufa shelo ketoshan, nor a brick or the magufa sachavis that is not crushed up, v'lo yichbe lavas akli. You also can't just put a kli over the dam and say, oh, there it is, it's covered because I took a pot and I put it upside down over the dam. That does not work. That is not a kiyum of the mitzvah of kisei adam. Klal omrim shum omliel, dover shem agadol b'tzmachim nechassim bo, v'shen agadol b'tzmachim ein nechassim bo. If something is able to support plant life, you can grow plants in it, so then you can use it for kisei adam. So dirt, soil, you can plant things in, so that you could use for kisei adam. But things that will not support any plant life, that you're not allowed to use for kisei adam. Tosos points out that Rav Shmuel Omliel is not disagreeing with the Tanakhama, he's just giving a klal, meaning the Tanakhama just give lists, said you can use these things, you cannot use these things. So Rav Shmuel Omliel says, well, what was driving the Tanakhama? Meaning there must be a yesod over here. So it was driving the Tanakhama is that which is Megadol Tzmachim versus that which is not Megadol Tzmachim. Tosos just raises the question that the Gemara Baba Kama sounds like Charasis is Eina Megadol Tzmachim, and yet we say that Charasis can be used over here. So Tosos says the Gemara and Baba Kama says that Charasas is not Megadol Tzmachim. It doesn't say that Peferish. It says that in Mimena Hana'a, that there's no Hana'a that one would get from Charasas. Well, what do you mean? You can, if you go to one of these nurseries, you buy a soil, it costs money, meaning because you can use it for something. It's productive. It's something that has a use. So how could you say that there's no Hana'a whatsoever from Charasas if it, in fact, can be Megadol Tzmachim? So Tos says it doesn't mean that you don't get Hana'a, that it's not Megadol Tzmachim at all, it would be Megadol very little. So the shear that it doesn't have a shear that you'd be able to be, that you would want to plant in the following year as well from the grain of this year in such charasas. The Rambam writes that charasas is not Megadol Tzmachim at all. How can we say that it is Megadol Tzmachim and that it could be used for kisei adam? It's made from that which initially was Megadol Tzmachim, meaning once it's baked and they do whatever they do to make pottery, so now it will no longer be able to be Megadol Tzmachim, but it starts out as earth, it starts out as something that actually is Megadol Tzmachim. The Ran, however, on the Rifs explains that from the Shi'iltos it seems that there's a machlokas between Rav Nachman bar Rav Chista and Rava, if Rav Shmuel Omliel is in fact arguing on the Tanakhama. And according to the Tanakhama, you don't need something that's Megadol Tzmachim. And he says that it sounds that way from the Rambam in the 14th parak of Hilchos Shechita as well, because he never mentions this Tanai, that you need something that's Megadol Tzmachim. So it could be that even though the way we explained our Mishnah is that we Tanakam just gave a list and then Ramesh Gamliel explained what's behind it, that it's all about whether something is Megadol Tzmachim or not, that maybe not everyone agrees to that. Maybe there is a way to read the Mishnah that Ramesh Gamliel is arguing on the Tanakama, that the Tanakama gives his list, and Ramesh Gamliel is saying that it's forget the list, it's all about Megadol Tzmachim. And maybe we don't paskin that it's all about Megadol Tzmachim. Maybe we paskin even things that are not Megadol Tzmachim can be used for the mitzvah of Kisei Adam. Also, we had mentioned in the Mishnah that if you're kofel of Kli, that doesn't work for the mitzvah of Kisei Adam. So isn't that obvious though? Meaning, didn't we already said that even if you use something that is not finely ground, you have sand that's coarse, it's not going to be valid for the mitzvah of Kisei Adam. So you take a full Kli, you take a pot and you put it over, it's obvious that it's not finely ground. So obviously, it's not going to be able to use for the mitzvah of Kisei Adam. So Tiferes Yaakov explains that even though you're not making the mitzvah of Kisei Adam when you're mechasakli, but since once you are mechasa the kli, the dam is mechusa, maybe you now don't have the ability to perform the mitzvah of kisei adam. It would be similar to kisahu aruach, where we said that if the wind comes and blows some dirt over it, so there's no mitzvah of kisei. What do you mean? I didn't do the mitzvah yet. So what, when the wind blows over it, I'm mekayim a mitzvah? No, I'm not mekayim a mitzvah. I lost the opportunity for a mitzvah. So that's what we're saying over here, that you would assume that we're mechasa kli, so ein achinami, I don't get the mitzvah. Obviously, it's not something that's finely ground, so of course I'm not going to get the mitzvah. But I would think that that I lost the opportunity for the mitzvah of Kisei Adam, that I become potter from the mitzvah of Kisei Adam. So that's why the Mishnah tells us, no, meaning, and therefore, and it says to Tiferes Yaakov, and that's true! So that's why the Mishnah is telling you, don't cover it with a kli, because even if you're just grossed out by the dam, so you just want to cover it with a kli until you get a chance to do the mitzvah of Kisei, it could be that covering it with a kli takes away your opportunity to do the mitzvah of kisui. And that's why the Tzvur Shar in Simon Chav Ches writes that if you're mechasa with dvarim she'inim ruyim l'kisui, that you should be megali it and mechasa again b'li bracha, because it's at least a suffix that maybe you had no obligation of kisui adam. So it could be that if you're mechasa with that which you're not mekayim the mitzvah of kisui adam, you can't just go ahead and do the mitzvah of kisui adam. You've robbed yourself of the opportunity of kisui adam. So it says, how do we define finely ground? Sands. Anytime someone is trying to use sand to make kelim, he's not going to have to grind it any further. So that's how we know that that's chol adak. Some have it formulated on the seifa that you're dafka not supposed to use chol hagas. Say hechidami chol hagas. How do I define chol hagas? So anytime that an uman is making kalim from the sand, that he would need to crush it up. So that's considered chal hagas. My binahi, what's the difference between these two explanations? According to both Lashonos, if you're going to have to grind up the sand, then it's not kosher for Kisei Adam. And if the uman would not have to grind up the sand, then it will be kosher for Kisei Adam. So what difference does it make whether you learn this teaching or this chilik connected to the resha or connected to the seifa? So ikabinahi, nafkamina would be that if it does and doesn't require ketisha, meaning that when you need it needs a very minor amount of further crushing and not a significant further crushing, so much so that you could just do it by hand, you don't even need to use a kli to crush it any further. That's the difference between the first lashon and the second lashon. How is that the difference between the first lashon? Which side says what? So predictably it's a machlokas which side says what, meaning how to read this Gemara. The way Rashi learns it is that the first Lashon that says it on the Resha would say that if it were something that you could crush further, biyad, it would have a din of Chol Hadak, because it doesn't need Ketisha. That the Resha is saying, what is Chol Hadak? That which doesn't need any more Ketisha. Doesn't need Ketisha means doesn't need Ketisha Bekli. So even if it's going to need Ketisha biyad, it still fulfills the criteria of Chol Hadak. But according to the second Lashon, when we're asking asking, what is Chol Hagas? And we're saying Chol Hagas is that which does need Kedisha, so that which is only going to need Kedisha. So, according to that, even when the sand could be crushed up by hand, it would have a din of Chol Hagas, because it still does require a little bit of Kedisha, so that's it would still qualify as that which the Yotzer is Tzaruch L'Kodesho, that he's still going to have to crush. Again, you could have just as easily said it the other way around, and that's why some of the Achronim do say it the other way around. Tanur Rabbanan, so we have a Braisa. When it talks about the mitzvah of Kisei Dam, the Pasuk says, V'chi Sahu, so Yachol Yichasenu Ba'avanim, I might think that you could cover it with stones, or Yichbelov as a Kli, or you could just put a Kli over the Dam, Tamalomar, Ba'afar, that's why it says, Ba'afar, no, but you're not allowed to use Avanim or Kelim, say in the Yalla Afar, so I would only know that you're allowed to use Afar, but Afar is very limiting, that's very specific, Minayin the Rabbos, Zevel Adak, V'chol Adak, U'shchikas Avanim, U'shchikas Charsis, U'noris Pishtun Daka, all the things we mentioned in the Mishnah and more, like crushed up stalks of Pishtun and things like that, and Sorish Al Harashin, and sawdust from a carpentry shop, Daka, if it's finely ground up sawdust, V'sid, V'charsis, U'levena, U'mugufa Shekatashan, how do I know you're allowed to use all of these other things? So Tamalomar V'chisahu. So it says offer, but it also says V'chisahu, a more generic term, which sounds like it could be referring to anything. Now Rashi points out, if the pasuk would have said Ba'offer Yichasenu, we would say that the fact that it says Ba'offer first teaches me that you're only allowed to use offer. So, but once it says V'chisahu and then only afterwards Ba'offer, it sounds like we could say V'chisahu is a separate, it could be viewed separate from the word Ba'afar, that V'chisahu with a broad range of things, and then Ba'afar more specifically directs us. So Yachal Shani Marbe Av Zevel Agas V'chal Agas, once you can tell me V'chisahu sounds like it's anything, so let it be anything, let it be Zevel Agas and Chal Agas, let it be coarse things Ushchikas Kli Matachos, or ground up metal Kelim Ulevena Mugufa Shalokatashan, or bricks or seals that have not been crushed up, V'kemach V'subin U'morsan, and why not use flour and bran and things like that? Tamalomar Ba'afar. That's why it says Ba'afar. It's got to be, those things are clearly not Afar. Umari Isal Rabbel Seselu Lehotzi Seselu. How do you determine what makes the list of things that are valid to use and what makes the list of things that are invalid to use? Sa'achar Shariba Kasov Umiyet. Since there's both a Reboy and a Miyut in the Pasuk, V'chisahu is a Reboy, sounds like it's including everything. Ba'afar is a Miyut, so you can only use Afar. So Marba Anias Elu Shehein Min Afar. So we're Marba, those things that are similar to Afar, in that they're Megadal Tzmachim, in that they're able to support, to nourish plant life. And we exclude those things that are not Doma to Afar, that are not Megadol Tzmachim, that are not able to support plant life. So Ema V'chisahu Klal Afar Prat says, wait, this whole style of drush is against all of Shas. The way we normally have with Darshan, when we have a more general term and a more specific term, no, we say it every morning. It's Klal Uprat. Why don't we say V'chisahu is a Klal, and then it says Be'afar, so that's a Prat. No, what's the rule? Klal uprat ein b'klal elo mashe b'prat. It's very limiting. It would include, by normal standards, by normal rules, we would say that you're only allowed to use offer. Offer in midyach chrinilo, that you can use offer and nothing else. So answers Gemara, we don't always apply klal uprat. It depends. Amrav Mari, mishum dahava klal hatsarich l'prat. This is an unusual circumstance where it's a klal hatsarich l'prat. V'chol klal hatsarich l'prat. And anytime you have a klal hatsarich leprat, we're not going to use a klal prat to say that you're only allowed to use that which is identified by the prat, and therefore we're able to include more things. Now that begs the question, what does that mean? What is a klal hatsarich leprat? In what way does the klal require the prat? So the way Rashi seems to learn is that the pasuk v'chisahu is a klal hatsarich leprat that needs the word afar, offer in order to be mevarit, because it could not have just said v'chisahu without ba'afar, because if it only would have said v'chisahu, I would have said that you could be kofekli on it. So you need ba'afar in order to already limit from the most extreme opposite example, like being kofekli. So since v'chisahu alone would not have really guided us in any which direction, would not have really told us much of anything, So I already need ba'afar in the pasuk anyhow. Once I already need ba'afar in the pasuk anyhow, I can't use ba'afar as a prat, which is going to entirely limit the klal. That is the way Rashi seems to understand. So Rashi seems to tell me that when you have in the Torah a klal which is an inyan echad that has pratim rabin, that has a whole bunch of different pratim, we say that the prat that follows it is being memaid from the klal all of those pratim, and to just give this one prat, right? That's klal prat in b'chlal elamashem prat. But when the klal has a lot of things that it could talk about, the prat is being mefarish which type of thing the klal is talking about. Not to be memait everything, but to be memait categories. So when the Torah says to be mechasa, and it could imply two different types of kisui, one is a davar shalem, like a kli, and another would be something that's dak, that has pieces to it, like afar. So the prat of afar is coming to be mefarish that you should use category 2 and not category 1. Don't use a davar shalem, rather use, so if it's just about the whole world, it could refer to any number of things, it could refer to 1,000 different things. So then we say klal prat. In b'chal al masha b'prat. But if the klal alone could be two categories, and then the prat then we assume that the prat is limiting to one category or another. It's very difficult though, because how do I determine what's a category, what's any number of things? But that's how Rashi learns. Rabbeinu Tam says differently. He says, no, even when there's many inyanim included in the klal, and then there's meaning different categories included in the klal, and then there's a prat, that would be considered a klal prat. Over here, when we say that we're not going to dash on klal prat, because the klal is tzarek prat, it doesn't mean that v'chisahu is mashma, that you could be mechasa b'kol davar, and ba'afar means that you could be mechasa. It sounds like you can be mechasa with something that is absorbent. It's just that from v'chiso, I would have thought that you don't need to. Says Rabbeinu Tam. No, the tzarek l'prat over here is the word v'chiso would sound like you only need to cover on top of it. Be'afar taught me that you need to sandwich the dam, that you need to put. So without be'afar, the whole geder mitzvah, the whole way of doing it, would have been lost on us. Meaning, it's not about how many items or which types of items can be used for kisui. It's not about the chefza. It's not about the items that you use for kisui. It's about what kisui even looks like. That I would have gotten the entirely wrong picture of what kisui looks like without the word ba'afar. And that's what makes it a klal hatzaruk leprat. That the prat was necessary just to even describe the maisa, just to even describe what it looks like. So in such a case, we don't say klal leprat. That's how Rabbeinu Tam learns. Rabbeinu Gershom says, no, we got it all backwards. That a klal hatzaruk prat means that the prat really needs the klal, meaning if it would not have said v'chisahu, so the pasuk would not have made any sense. Most of the times we have a klal prat, the Torah could have just not said the klal and said the prat directly, and it would still make sense. But over here, what would it say? It would say v'shafach es damo ba'afar. It wouldn't make it without the word v'chisahu. Well, what do you mean? I'm shofich the dam with afar? That doesn't make any sense. There would be no meaning to the pasuk. So in that sense, it's a klal atzaruch leprat, which really means it's a prat atzaruch leklal, that you really need the word v'chisahu, that without the word v'chisahu, you would be stuck. Okay, whichever way you learn, there's some sort of rule over here in the methodology of learning klal uprat. Okay, darash v'nachem rav chisse, in mechasen l'bedover shazorin bo matzmiach. Nachem rav chisse says that you can only use for kisui adam something that you can plant something in, and it will be matzmiach. The Miri points out, he's arguing on the Mishnah, because in the Mishnah, Rishon Gamliel said, kol dover shemegadol bo tzmachem, you're mechasa bo. Sounds like in the Mishnah, Rishon Gamliel saying, if you already have a live plant, you can replant it into this, and it will continue to nourish that life. But Rav Nachum Rav Chista is saying even more. It needs to be stronger than that. It needs to be something that you can plant something l'chalchila in, and it will start to grow in there. So Amar Rava, hi burcha. Rava says, that's not true. Amar le Rav Nachum Rav Chista, Rava, my burcha say, what do you mean? What's the borus over here? What's not true? I know I'm Nisan Ale. I said this in front of this halacha, in front of Rav Nachum Rav Chista, and I learned it from the following brisa. Hayimahalich b'midbar, that the brisa describes a person is in the midbar and he shechts a chayav ha'of ve'in lo efer l'chassos, and he has nothing to be mechasa the dam with. So what should he do? Shochik dinar zahav u'mechasa. He should grind up a dinar zahav, a golden coin, and use that to be mechasa the dam. down with. Haymalich besvina, if you're on a boat, ve'in lo offer lechasos, and you don't have any dirt to use for kisui adam, sorif taliso mechasa. He should burn his talis and use the ashes of the talis to be mechasa. But bottom line is, you see that if a person, it paints a picture of someone who's holech b'midbar, and he's got nothing to be mechasa with. He's in a midbar. Let him take some of the sand. So it must be because it's zorei boveinu matzmiach, and anything that's zorei boveinu matzmiach, you can't use for kisui adam. Tosfos points out, and ground up gold you'd plant it and it would be matzmiach, and a burnt talus you'd plant and it would be matzmiach. So Tosfos says no, there are two categories. There's that which is called afar, and ground up gold, the Gemara is soon going to demonstrate, as well as the burnt talus, are called afar, that they are properly labeled as afar. So anything that's properly labeled as afar, that fits the word ba'afar in the pasuk. But anything that's not properly called afar, then it would need to have this quality that you're able to plant something in, and it would be matzmiach. It's interesting, just parenthetically, we're quoting this brisa. A guy is in the midbar and he's got nothing to be mechasad adam with, so he should grind up a piece of gold. So the Mordechai quotes Gaonim, that if you want to shecht an ofer achaya, and the ofer the chaya is worth less than a piece of gold, or worth less than your talis, or you just don't want to sacrifice your talis to be able to eat chicken for dinner that night, there's another thing you could do. You could sort of mop up the dam shechita in the beged, let it absorb in your beged, and then when you get to a place where there is afar, squeeze it out of the beged, and then you'll cover it with the afar over there. That's what the Mordechai quotes from the Gaonim, a different etza than what the Braisa says. The Braisa says just burn your talus and cover with that. No, use your talus to clean it up and then squeeze it out later, and that way you won't have to sacrifice your talus. So the Beis Yosef says, if that were possible, how come the Braisa didn't tell us to do that? And not only that, you should be obligated to do that, because otherwise it's baltashchis. How are you allowed to burn a piece of clothing unnecessarily if there's this other etza of what to do? So the Beis Yosef says that the poskim do not mention that which the Gaonim say, that which the Mordechai quotes on the Gaonim, because it's against the Braisa. The Braisa would have told us if that were actually true. So the Raman, Darke Moshe's Miyashiv the Gaonim, that they say, they talk about this Eitzah only in the case where the Of or the Chaya are worth less than the Beged or the Zahav. And there's Nisra of Baltashkas, therefore, if you're going to burn the Beged or you grind up the gold for the Of, and therefore they made a Takan in some other way to do it. But the Braisa is talking about a case where the Of or the Chaya is worth more than the Beged or the Zahav, and therefore it's not Baltashkas. I mean, you're allowed to sacrifice that which is worth less for that which is worth more. That's what would qualify it as not being Baltashkas. Levari has a sharp point. He says it could be, to be miyashiv this kasha of the Beis Yosef, that the Brice is talking according to the opinion that you need to be mechasa kol hadam, and therefore your only eitzah to burn up the talis. Whereas the eitzah of the Gaonim is according to how we paskin la'alach, that you only need to be mechasa some of the dam, because whatever you absorb into the talis, you're going to squeeze out whatever you can. You're not going to get all of it out, so you're never going to be able to be mechasa all of the dam in that way. So that eitzah, the eitzah of the Gaonim, is not a good eitzah. If you hold it, you need to be mechasa. And that's why the Braisa doesn't come up with that Eitzah, because the Braisa is going Alibi the Man Diyomar, that you need to be Mechasa all of the Dam. Okay, anyway, says Gemara, Bishla Masarif Taliso Mechasa. I understand why burning your Talis is a valid way of doing Kisei Adam, Ashkan, Efer, Dikri, Afar, because we know that Efer, that ashes, are also called Afar sometimes. Eladina Zav Minalan. But where do we ever find that a ground up golden coin is called Afar? Some Rabbi Zer says, what do you mean? It's Pasgan Eov. The Afros Zahavlo, that there's a land that the stones of the land are Avnei Sapir, and the dirt is gold dust. It's gold dirt. So the Zav is called Afar. So that's how I know that you're allowed to use it for Kisei Adam. Tan Rabbanan Ein Mechasen Ela BaAfar Divrei BeShamay UBeSilu Amr Matzinu Efer Shekaroy Afar. That BeShamay says no, you can only use dirt, and BeSilu says ashes also count as dirt. How do I know ashes also count as dirt? Shenemar, because the pasuk says by Paraduma V'Lachul. Tami, may afar Srefa Sachatos, it goes on to say. That in the Pasuk is talking about the ashes of the Parah Aduma, but it calls it afar with an ayin. So you see that it's that ashes are also called dirt. Ubeishamai, and Beishamai would respond, afar Srefa Ikri, afar Stama lo Ikri. It's called afar Srefa, but it's not called afar Stama, it's not called Stab afar, and therefore it would not qualify as afar according to Beishamai. Ashes do not qualify as afar according to Beishamai. Now Tos points out, in this price it sounds like Beishamai Beisilal argue whether ashes are called afar. Problem is in Maseches Beitza, we say that according to Beishamai you could be mechasa with Efer Kira. So Tos says that Efer Kira, since it comes from burning wood, it's Megadal Matzmiach, and therefore it has the ability, it would still be called afar. Tana Hosifu Alehen, the Brisa then said that the Chum added on the things that we listed of things that you're allowed to be mechasa with, Hashachar, Vahakochal, Vinikras Pisulin, some like dark blackened charcoal, and Kochal is like blue eye makeup, and Nikras Pisulin is the afar that you're able to get from the mill. All of these things are kosher for Kisei Adam, v'yesh omrim af hazarnich, and some say that even zarnich is kosher for Kisei Adam, which is something that is also used as some sort of dye or something. That so you have all of these different items that as well can be used for Kisei Adam. So Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with the various statements of Avraham Avinu and the halachas that we derived from, or the mitzvahs that we were able to benefit from as a result of those statements of Avraham Avinu. Everyone have a wonderful day.
Das ist der Nachhinein, sei gesagt.